This is the podcast from Connection Community Church for this Sunday, July 10th, 2011. Behind the music, Days of Elijah.
Gosh, you gotta love that song. Written by a guy named Robin Mark, a Christian singer, songwriter, worship leader, recording artist based in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Today, we're exploring what this song, the background of it, what it's about, what it means as we continue our series, Behind the Music.
Well, good morning again, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with us, please? Oh, God, we thank you. Thank you for today. We ask, Lord, for you to just settle us now. Settle us so that we can focus on you and on your word. Thank you that you are alive, that you create again. And now, Lord, word of God, speak as we hear about days of Elijah and what that could mean in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of Connection Church said, amen.
Days of Elijah. I love that song. I can't help but just be jumping and clapping and hooping and hollering so lively. It's a celebration song. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But you know, it's more than just a celebration song. It's more than just hooping and hollering, because it is a song of hope. It's a song of hope. In fact, that's what the writer, Robin Mark, shares on his website. In fact, in your bulletin, there's a little thing now, a little barcode. You don't have to look at it, but sometimes if you have one of those smartphones and can zero in it, give you all kind of cool information on this guy's website and stuff. But there's also, I think, a link. You don't have to do it now. You can pay attention now. You can do that later. But it's just, you know, to connect you up with more stuff after the service there. But anyway, and on his website, he says, you know, this is a song of hope. It's a song that's full of Old Testament images, and yet all those Old Testament images point to the source, the one and only source of our hope, and that is Jesus the Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So Robin Mark, the writer of this song, he shares that the song kind of bubbled up out of him as he was watching a TV show back in 1994. The show was called The Year in Review. It was a year when over a million people were slain because of the civil war in Rwanda. It was a very painful year. But it was also the year that there was a ceasefire across Northern Ireland, and they saw some peace that they had not experienced for a very long time. There had been decades of fighting. Well, while Robin was watching this show, he did feel a sense of discouragement. He felt a sense of despair, because he wondered and prayerfully asked God if God was still in control. Have you watched the news lately? Have you read the newspaper lately? Have you ever, in your heart, said, God, are you still in control? Well, that's where he was, and God spoke to him and let him know that God is in control, and the song was born.
And in that song, in that first verse, Robin compares the days he was living in with the days of the prophet Elijah. You know, prophets were God's mouthpieces. They spoke on behalf of God. God shared the word to the people through the prophets. And, you know, oftentimes the prophets got to be the ones to bring the bad news. They usually didn't go, hey, guys, you're doing great. Usually it was, boy, you're messing up. And you know, something about that, people just don't like to hear that mess up message, do they? No, they usually don't. And so the prophets were the messengers. And remember that old expression, the messenger's the one who gets, yeah. Well, he didn't get shot, but it was close. Anyway, they were out for him. And he felt isolated, and he was alone in his culture, because many around him, especially his fellow Israelites, his fellow Hebrews, were worshiping false gods. While he was holding steady to the one true God, even when it put his own life in jeopardy. And God told Elijah to stand up and speak for God, which he did. Which he did. And you know, we too live in a culture in which many turn from the true God. Amen? Amen. And where many worship false gods, you know, like the God of money and the God of sex and the God of power. And we could go on for an hour and list the various gods that we turn from the true God to worship. And these are challenging times, just like the times of Elijah, just like the times when 1994, when the writer of the song was experiencing. And then, so we too need to be filled with integrity and to stand up for God, just as God called Elijah to stand up for him.
These are the days of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant, Moses, righteousness being restored. Righteousness means right living. Right living. God gave Moses the rules for right living, the Ten Commandments. The problem was those rules don't save us. We continue to disobey the rules, but it's not about the rules where we're made right. We are made right. We are saved by the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. As we read in Romans 10, we hear Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes.
And then later on in verse 13, that same chapter 10 of Romans, we're reminded that we are saved not because we obey the law, although we're still called to follow the law, but that's not what's going to save us, is it? No. Well, that doesn't catch it. We are saved because we believe in the one who gave his perfect life for you and me. Romans 10:13, share it with me, will you? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's say it again. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God gave us rules for right living through Moses, but it's through Jesus and Jesus alone that right living is fully realized in each of us.
These are the days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, it was true back in 1994 when this song was written and Robin Mark was experiencing darkness and famine and sword in what he saw of what was going on. But in the midst of what's going on, we, as the people of God, are called to point others to God. We are called to say, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's what the prophets have done through time. The prophet Isaiah did that. John the Baptizer, the one who came before Christ and said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus came. You'll remember John was the one who baptized Jesus. We're called to prepare ye the way of the Lord, to speak that message of hope. Of hope. And in saying prepare ye the way of the Lord, we also need to look inside of us. Prepare me the way of the Lord.
Amen.
Prepare my heart, Lord, for you today and every day.
And you know, these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. I love that chapter 37 of the book of Ezekiel, where the Lord brings Ezekiel, another prophet, to a valley full of dry bones. It's a boneyard. They're dry. They've been there for a long time. These guys have been dead for a really long time. And the bones, they represent the nation of Israel. That country was defeated. And many of the people, the best and the brightest, were exiled by the country that beat them, Babylon. It's known as the Babylonian exile. They were taken out of their country and exported to another place. And were there for 40 years. Some never returned. Some returned later. That's another story for another day. But this nation of Israel, then, it's basically dead and it's scattered. And God says to the prophet Ezekiel, he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel responds, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Now think about it. It's a pile of dead bones. What'd you be thinking? God, are you crazy? They're dead. They're dry. Can they live? And so God proceeds to tell the dry bones how he will put breath into them, and they will come to life, and how the Lord will attach tendons to them, and then put flesh on them and cover them with skin, and they will be renewed, and life will be brought back to these dry bones.
And we know that can happen because we know that with God, all things are possible. Absolutely. Even a pile of dry bones can be brought to life. In this case, a nation that had fallen, that was broken, that was scattered, the nation can be restored. God is in the restoration business. This nation of Israel that was overtaken by Babylon, what does that have to do with us? Well, in our lives. Lives that, for many of us, there's pockets of destruction. There's pockets of famine. You know, we're starved for this or for that. There's so much challenge. There's relationships that have been severed. There's places in our lives that we have deep, deep hurt. See, we know that there's hope. There's hope. Hope in restoration. Because we know that God, through Christ, can bring that about. If God can bring dry bones to life, God will absolutely work in every single one of your lives. God is in the restoration business. God wants to unify our lives. We take a look at a scripture. It's the words of Jesus just prior to his death and resurrection. And he prayed to his Father in heaven on behalf of his disciples. But guess what? That's on behalf of each one of us here. Jesus said that they may be one as I and the Father are one. Unity. That's unity. And sometimes we feel that unity is not really possible, that there's just brokenness everywhere. But we're here to share today that there is good news, that unity is indeed possible, that restoration is possible, because the power of God can descend upon your lives and bring those places and spaces that you're struggling with and breathe life into you.
And these are the days of your servant David. You know, God used David to revive praise and worship and thanksgiving. Read through the Psalms sometime. Remember, it was David who was dancing in the streets in celebration. And you know, in our time, we're to allow ourselves to be the temples of the Holy Spirit alive within us, just bringing forth praise, worship, and celebration as we are a witness to those around us of the glories of God in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen.
These are the days of the harvest. There's a scripture, it's in Matthew chapter 9, that we'd like to share with you now. When he saw the crowds, he's Jesus, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
You know, these are the days of the harvest. It was true back in 1994 when the song was written, and it's just as true today. The fields are ripe for the harvest, fields of people in need of a Savior. And we are the laborers in the field, declaring the word of the Lord to those around us. Isn't it just absolutely incredible when you think about it that God would entrust us and allow us to be his hands and his feet and his voice. To share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. Don't you just find it incredible that God partners with us with such an absolutely important and eternal task for people's lives? And yet that's exactly what God does. And we are the laborers in the fields that are just ripe for the harvest. Yeah.
And then the song culminates in this huge climax. It's the chorus.
Yeah.
And the chorus says, "Behold, he comes," say it with me, "riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill, salvation comes." Wow, what a great picture that is. What a great picture that is for us. In the book of Revelation, which is at the end of the Bible, it's a book where God gives John, who wrote the book of Revelation, he gives John this great vision of what is to come, of our future. And here's what we find in chapter 1, verse 7. "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him." Wow, that's big. "And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him." Say the last line with me. So shall it be. Amen.
Now, what an absolutely glorious picture of Jesus riding in triumphant. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee. Sounds like a kind of a fun year, right? A year of celebration. Well, oh my goodness, it's so much more than that. If we go back again, Old Testament, back to the book of Leviticus, back to all the regulations tied, and this was the prescription, so to speak, what they were supposed to do, and it was the Sabbath laws. You know, we know Sabbath is that seventh day, right? We celebrate it today. They used to celebrate it would be Saturday. We celebrate Sunday because that's when we celebrate Easter, and every Sunday's a mini Easter and all that. But Sabbath is our day of rest, our day of worship, our day to be focused on God. Amen? But it goes more than that, because they had a year of Sabbath. Every seventh year, you were supposed to let the fields lie fallow so that they could replenish, so they could get restored, so they could be ready for another 6 years of bringing forth the harvest. But it gets even better. That was seven, and then 7 years. Seven times 7 years. In other words, the Sabbath of Sabbaths, 49 years. The following year, the 50th year, was the year of Jubilee. And what happens in the year of Jubilee was a time of true restoration. The people were to return their land to the original owners. Probably didn't want to make that land purchase in the 49th year. You weren't going to get much out of it. You know, return the... Why? It's a reminder that it's not yours anyway. It's God's. Returns goes back to those original tribes, all back, restored like it was. The people would return the land, and then also the Hebrew slaves were to be set free, allowed to return to their original households. Sometimes they would have to, in fact, sell themselves, so to speak, because in effect they went bankrupt, let's say, and would sell themselves. They would be returned to their households. All debts would be remitted. Ha ha! Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? In other words, everything was put back to the way it was originally, restored. That's a heck of a concept, isn't it? It's almost mind-boggling, isn't it?
The year of Jubilee. Now, many scholars think that this is one thing that looked better on paper than actually happened. They don't see evidence of the year of Jubilee happening as prescribed in the book of Leviticus. And yet, the truth is, the year of Jubilee did and will happen. Here's why. It's because when Jesus comes into our lives, it is the year of Jubilee. We do experience restoration. We are made right. There's righteousness that happens in all of our lives when we say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. You are my Lord and my Savior. You see, that is something to celebrate, my friends. Restoration. When everything doesn't make sense, we can turn to the Lord and we're restored. Our debt that caused our sin, it has been paid by the blood of Christ, canceled. We oftentimes are prisoners because of our stuff, and we look to ourselves to make the difference. And in Christ, our chains are gone. We talked about that last week. We have been set free. The old is gone. The new has come.
I like the way Craig Barnes shares this in his book entitled When God Interrupts. Here's what Craig Barnes says. He says, when God converts us, he does not give us a new identity. Rather, he allows us to discover what our true identity has been all along. It is the self we were created to be from the beginning. It is the restoration, there's that word. It's the restoration of the image of God in our lives. It is a reflection of the very image of Jesus Christ. But it is not something different. Here's, this is good. It's not something different from the good creation God had in mind for us from the beginning.
Robin Mark wrote this song some 17 years ago when he was in despair, when he felt it was a time of real trial and real tribulation. And the truth is, trial and tribulation are a part of all of our lives. In fact, it's part of our human condition. And so trial and famine and darkness and sword, you know, name the year and we see it. And we suspect that some of you here today are right there. Trial, famine, you're starving for something. You're feeling attacked. And you're crying out to the Lord.
And it's in the midst of this that we, as followers of Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, we are called. We are called to declare the word of the Lord. Called to strive for the restoration of right living, of righteousness. Called to be a voice in the desert, crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. In the midst of this, we are called to look to God to put flesh on some dry bones. Amen? And to reunite, to rebuild, to reconnect that which has been separated. We're called by God to worship and to praise and to give thanksgiving and to shout and to hoop and holler for God. Yeah. And we are called to remember that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And to remember that we are the workers, and that God has called us to be his hands, his feet, his voice, to share the good news of Jesus Christ as we labor in the vineyard of the field. We are to declare the word of the Lord.
And we can do that because when Christ comes into our lives, transformation takes place, restoration takes place. We're able to forgive things that we thought we could never let go of because we realize that we are sinners and that we've been forgiven. And we come to a realization that Jesus is the hope of the world. I'd like for the praise team now to come up as we get ready to conclude. We know that Jesus is the hope of the world. He's riding on the clouds. He's shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Let's lift our voices in unison, in harmony. United, that it is the year of the Jubilee, because we know that it's Jesus and Jesus alone who makes the difference in our lives, and that message is too good to keep to ourselves. We're here to share that with a hurting world, to share that with your coworker or somebody in your family or a neighbor who's lost and in despair where Rob and Mark felt at the time, but to say, God is our hope. So let's now sing this song, Days of Elijah, just a part of it, and remember some of the teachings that we've heard this morning. Would you stand as we sing again?
Thank you for joining us for our podcast. For more information about Connection Community Church in Middletown, Delaware, please visit our website at www.connectioncc.org. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the life that He offers.